This is Marketplace Money from APM. I'm Adrienne Hill. Well, it's time for your letters now, and our senior producer, Patty Hirsch, has been digging through the mail this week. Welcome, Patty.
Hello, thank you.
And all the way from New York, we've got investing diva and editor-at-large at CBSMoneyWatch.com, Jill Schlesinger. Hey, Jill.
Hey, diva, huh? Okay, I'll take it.
Work with it. So, Patty, start us off. What do we got this week?
Well, first off, we have a clarification. Last week, our other favorite guest host, Sarah Gardner, was talking about travel advice for people with disabilities, and when she said that be prepared was the motto of the Boy Scouts. Well, listener Kathy Poltz from San Diego wrote in to remind us that be prepared is actually the motto of both the Boy and the Girl Scouts.
Well, nice work clearing that up.
Well, there's a lot of scouting parents listen to this show. So it's important we get these things right. Right, Jill?
Absolutely. I got kicked out of the Girl Scouts, I just want to say.
Why doesn't that surprise me?
I know. I was overly aggressive. I know that's shocking.
It wasn't your knots then.
Mm-mm.
Okay.
And be prepared. It's a good motto for us, too. So thank you to Kathy. What else you got in there, Patty?
Well, we have a letter from Lisa Heimbach from Durham, North Carolina. She wants to buy some savings bonds for her goddaughter. But to do that, she's got to get the girl's social security number, right? But Lisa's obviously the sort of personal finance maven who understands the need to guard one's social security number carefully.
With their life.
Right. So she doesn't want to ask the girl's parents to disclose that information. It's very polite of her. So she wants to know, is there any kind of long-term bond that she can buy as a gift without the recipient's SSN? Jill?
That's a tough one. If you want the bond to be in the kid's name, then no, it's really hard. And to get something put into somebody else's name, it requires a social security number. So if you go on to a site like where you can go to treasurydirect.gov and you want to purchase something, there's always going to be the requirement of a social security number. But I think there could be a little bit of a workaround here. One is that, you know, maybe she just buys the bond in her own name. Mm-hmm. And she makes it a transfer on death account, which means she'll pass that security to the kid upon her death. And maybe when the kid's older, she just will transfer it and say, here, I'm gifting it to you anyway.
But then she can transfer it under her own social security number.
Correct.
Right.
And that might avoid it. But I wouldn't get too flipped out about giving your social security number to Treasury Direct, because frankly, it's a very easy way to buy a security, and it's the Treasury Department. They've got that social security number already.
Fair enough.
All right. So we got several letters from listeners this week, all asking about cashing in their 401ks. Matthew Rokowski from Collingswood, New Jersey, was considering cashing in part of his retirement investment to help his bride-to-be pay down some student loans. And another caller, who wanted to remain nameless, wanted to cash in on his 401k to raise money to make a down payment on a house. What do you think about raiding your 401k, Jill?
Oh, gosh, I was groaning.
You could see on Patty's face this was
groaning.
He knew
here.
The answer, yes.
But yeah, the first one about paying down debt, absolutely not a wise idea to take money out of your 401k to do that. Now, that said, especially for someone else, as much as you love your honey, if you were really at the end of your rope and you said, I'm paying 29% in this credit card account, and I have a whole bunch of money in my 401k, what might be advisable would be to take a loan out against your 401k and pay off the credit card debt, and then you'll pay your loan back to your employment plan. The downside of a 401k loan is, number one, it's usually limited to $50,000. That's first of all. But number two, when you actually leave a job, you've got to repay that loan in full. So if you lost your job, not for your own, you know, you're laid off or your division shuts down, all of that money is due at once. And so you could be right back where you started, which is getting a credit card to pay off that 401k loan.
Ouch.
So
yeah.
If you don't pay back the loan, remember, it's a distribution. Very, very painful distribution, which would be taxed at your ordinary income rate, and you pay a penalty because you're under the age of 59 and a half.
So bad idea.
We'll bad idea.
Bad idea.
Now, I will also say that for a down payment of a house, I despise the idea of taking my money out of my retirement for a down payment on the house. People do it all the time. I think it's terrible. I think that you've got to be able to plan ahead and you've got to get that money set aside. And if you don't have your down payment already, and because you've saved too much in your 401k, then delay purchasing the home. Don't raid your retirement account to buy a house.
Okay. All right. So this show is all about seniors and financial issues they face. And Abby Martin from Waitsfield, Vermont, wrote in to ask us about estate planning for her parents. I think we have her on the line now. Hi, Abby.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
So tell us a few things about yourself, Abby.
I'm in my early 20s, and I do marketing and outreach for a school in Vermont that teaches sustainable building and design.
And so what's your question? What do you want Jill and Patty to weigh in on here?
Well, I've been thinking about my parents as they get older. They're both retired. They're right around 60, and I'm an only child, so I've been thinking about how I can help them get ready for the inevitable. You know, I hope it's I hope their deaths are a long way off, but I have some idea of documents that we should all have for medical planning, but I don't really know what sorts of things I should help them get together on the in the financial realm. So it'd be great to start with even just a checklist and go from there.
Is there a checklist, Jill?
Have I got a checklist for you, Abby? It's like you're a plant. It's fabulous. The reason why I'm laughing about this is it's sort of a sad thing. I actually created a blog post about this after my father-in-law died last summer because, I mean, I used to be a financial planner, so I knew all the documents. Like you said, Abby, like you kind of know it's the will, it's the power of attorney, it's the healthcare proxy. You know all of those things. You even know the do not resuscitate stuff. Those are the things that everybody talks about. But gosh, when my father-in-law died, I learned about all the different other pieces that maybe I should have known about earlier, but you kind of only know when you go through it yourself. So what I think is really important is lists. I know this sounds crazy. It's like the checklist manifesto here. But you want a list of every bank account that is outstanding. You need a list of all the username and passwords, right? Because so many of us do online banking. You want a list of automatic pay accounts with name and contact information of each payee. A list if there's some safe deposit box. You want the list of your 401ks and your IRAs, pensions, annuities, all of that stuff. One huge sticking point for people, savings bonds. A lot of older people have not converted to the electronic world and have all these paper savings bonds floating around. Get them. Have a detailed list. Have your life insurance policies, your long-term care policies, all of that stuff. If you don't know where it is just maddening to try to track it down later.
Have you made any kind of inroads into that, Abby?
I haven't. That's a great suggestion.
And Abby, how do these conversations go with your parents?
Well, you know, it's not something we've talked about that much. I'm 23 and they're, you know, just about 60. And so it's kind of something that we're hoping is a long way off. But I have had two of my grandparents have died within the last decade. And I've been kind of watching them follow through all the estate work and so on. And that's part of what got me thinking about this. I have to admit that being off at college and living away from home and so on, it's not something that we talk about very much because it doesn't come up in day-to-day conversations that I have with them. But one of the things I'm hoping for also is that you might give me a little bit of advice for having these conversations.
Well, I was just going to say, it's always a very sticky for kids to bring this up because I think parents are a little bit, you know, freaked out about it themselves. The time where it often will make sense is when there's nothing critical going on, when everything's really great. And so it could be as benign as you saying, you know, I was listening to the radio this weekend and on Marketplace Money, they had this really interesting segment about the estate planning. How have you guys managed your estate planning? Because obviously I'm the only child, so I want to make sure you guys are all set so this doesn't fall like through the cracks. So what can I do to help you out or tell me what you've done? If you feel really weird about it, the other way to do it is to enlist somebody who is close to them, a financial advisor, a CPA, an attorney, and or use some trigger event. Hey, the estate laws are going to change at the end of this year. You guys have all your estate stuff done, right? We call that the assumptive close in sales. And take them off the hook. I mean, if they're weirded out by the whole process, you want to say, oh, my God, of course, I think it's so strange. Also, I just been thinking about it because, you know, I love you so much. And it's my understanding that, you know, when these documents are done really perfectly and spot on, it leaves all of the people who are left behind able to just concentrate on what they want to do, which is mourning their loved ones, right? Not settling the estate, because settling an estate is a pain in the neck.
Is this a conversation that should be taken out over breakfast or over dinner, do you think?
I'm thinking it may not be over a meal, because it's a little, you know, let's talk about your death. I don't know. It doesn't make me want to eat. I'm thinking that it's at home and it's in a nice environment when everyone's feeling good. It can happen when somebody you know dies. I mean, a lot of people will have these conversations because they'll say, you might say, Abby, like, hey, my friend's father just died and boy, she's going through a lot. Let me tell you what happened.
Yeah, and I really appreciate advice on the conversation, because the medical questions are a little easier to bring up, actually. You know, the financial stuff is always a little bit sticky because it's both death and money, which are things people don't like to talk about.
Right. Maybe you could ask them about sex also while you're at it. Just a triple play, you know?
All right. Well, on that note.
Thank you so much, Abby.
Thank you.
And thank you, Patty and Jill.
Thanks, Adrian.
Thanks, Adrian.
And we'd love to hear from you, our listeners, about any money problem or question or conundrum you've been pondering. We're on Facebook, on Twitter, or you can click Contact Us at marketplace.org.